Now, part of that, what I wanted to go into is I wanted to really do a deep dive into the purpose of prophetic ministry. And we've all been in the prophetic ministry long enough. If you've been in church long enough, you had someone give you prophetic word. And you've had a prophetic word that you get it and you're like, what in the heck was that? Like, what is, you know? And, you know, you might come from a culture where when someone says prophetic or talks about the prophetic words, oh, we don't do that. That we know that church, that church in over there, they do prophetic and they're weird. And I really believe that as believers, we should desire every gift that God has for us. And we should never leave nothing on the table, because it's so that we can, it's not for us. The prophetic isn't for us per se. Yes, you can use it for your family, for your kids and all that. But it's just like healing. It's to advance the kingdom of God. It's great if I give my kids a prophetic word, but, you know, they love Jesus. What would it look like when I go to the store and I give that lady, that cashier who doesn't know Jesus, a prophetic word? And we'll get into this here in a second, but it causes them to change their life. So I really felt like we wanted to go through the prophetic a little bit of this. You guys are also my guinea pigs a little bit, because a lot of this is going to be part of my e-course when we do our ministry training school. So a lot of it is going to be part of, this is the more condensed version, but a lot of this will be in our online e-course, that our ministry training school curriculum, because we want people to walk in signs and wonders, prophetic, healing, the power gifts, the revelatory gifts. We want people to walk in all of it. So the title of my message today is The Purpose of Prophetic Ministry. I have a few stories, but we're going to do a lot of just teaching today. I'm going to put my teacher hat on today. But if you have your Bibles, open to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. This is probably one of the greatest passages of Scripture where Paul makes the case for all of us as believers to be desiring every single gift that God has for us. So 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And we're going to read verse 1 all the way through just 25. And then we'll get into our text. But this is what it says. It says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in tongues does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish all of you spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? What shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching, even things without life, whether flute or harp? When they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sound, how will it be known what is piped or played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? Verse 9. So likewise you, unless you utter by tongues words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Therefore, let him who speaks in the tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? For you indeed give thanks well, but the others is not edified. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than all of you. Yet in the church I would rather speak five words with my understanding, that I may teach others also, than 10,000 words in tongues. Brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips I will speak to this people, and yet for all that they will not hear me, says the Lord. Therefore, tongues are for a sign, not for those who believe, but for the unbeliever, but prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there comes in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, they will not say that you are out of the, they will not say you are out of your mind. But if all prophesy and unbelievers or uninformed persons come in, he is convinced by all, he is convicted by all, and thus the secrets of his heart are revealed. And so, falling on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. Okay, that was a lot. But what I wanted to establish here is Paul is talking about the gift of prophecy. And a lot of times we get the gift of prophecy and being a prophet mixed up. A gift is something that is free, everyone could have. I love gifts, but I can tell you right now, I do not operate or occupy the office of the prophet. And we'll explain a little bit more here in a second. And so this is what we need to understand about prophecy. Jesus paid a high price for you and I. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:20, for you were bought with a price. So Jesus places a very, very high value on you and on me. God placed such a high value on us as people, but we have people who don't think so. We have people who think, well, I'm just a nobody. I don't deserve this, or I don't deserve that. You know, there's this wonderful lady that I know, and she hears from the Lord. She definitely hears from the Lord, and she'll always, well, I don't know if I really heard right, or I think, and I'm like, you hear from the Lord. But that's one of the tricks of the enemy, is to tell you, oh, well, that's only for the man or woman of God. Oh, that's for that's for the spiritual person. That's for the mature Christian or the mature believer. But that's just not true. I sometimes see people say, when somebody dies, heaven has gained another angel. Anyone ever heard that? Yeah, heaven has gained another angel. Well, let me tell you something. This is going to probably hurt some feelings. I'm sorry. But I will die. But when it's my time to die, not anytime soon, long in the future. Hopefully in the future enough to I can see somewhat of what Mass Effect 3 would look like, the society. But Mass Effect 1, 2, or 3?
Yes.
If you're a video game, you got it. But I would be pissed if someone said, when I die, heaven gained another angel. I would be so pissed if somebody demoted me to an angel. Jesus. And now I get it in the span of creation, angels are higher than us. But in God's eyes, I am higher than angels. Period. Why? God did not send Jesus to die for an angel. Angels don't have the Holy Spirit. The angels will not rule and reign with Jesus. I do. So why would I demote myself to, oh, heaven received another angel? No. You're a spirit. Your spirit goes to heaven and is with Jesus. So, sorry, that just That was my soapbox for the day. And you can agree or disagree with me. Doesn't bother me. But yes, the Bible says that we were created. We were made just a little bit below angels. But if you actually do a study in that, wasn't talking about angels. Actually, in the study, we were made a little bit lower than God. But there's a whole other story for that. But so we must see people the way Jesus sees people. I believe that it takes a prophetic eye to value or to see value in people's lives. Have you ever seen, and let me say it like this. Here's a great example. And we were at this funeral, a church member of ours, her grandmother died, and people said, oh, well, they let me come. You know, I just got out of juvie, and I haven't seen her in decades, and she let me see. I believe that for whatever reason, grandmothers have a prophetic eye. Because the rest of your family be like, man, you're screwed up. You're going to hell in a handbasket. We disown you. It's always your grandmother that's like, oh, no, that's my baby. I love him. He just confused. She just don't know who she is. They always can see the value in you. I could testify. Everyone would be like, man, Josh was a lost cause. This is my grandmother that'd be like, oh, no, I love you, baby. You need to stop doing that, but I still love you. That was grandmothers. And I think we all have grandmothers like that, right, that just think you're the world. And it's to a fault sometimes. I mean, you have people who go on killing sprees, and the grandma, that's my baby. I didn't know he'd murder all those people. Like, yes, grandma, he killed everybody. Anyways, but what I'm saying is that with a prophetic eye, we have to find the value in people. It's easy to find the fault and junk. Like I'll just use my kids. You know, I know the faults and the junk in my own kids' lives. I know the knuckleheads that they are. I know the dumb stuff that they do. It's easy to find. But sometimes it's harder to find the value. I think Tiffany and I do a pretty good job of finding diamonds in the rough. So that's what it takes to have, or that's what it looks like to have a true prophetic ministry looks like, finding the treasure in people. And that's why I like to joke around a lot, and I just say, we have a bunch of misfits. Because I like hanging out with the misfits. Because Jesus was perfect at that. He found the value. If you were in biblical times, and Jesus said, hey, Matthew's going to be one of my disciples. Everyone else is like, Matthew? That crooked tax collector? He just robbed me blind the other. He's a crooked tax collector. That's what he is. And you want to tell me he's a disciple? This is my other disciple, Peter. You mean the cussing guy? The guy who cusses all the time? He can barely sword fight? You mean that guy who tried to kill somebody? That Peter? Jesus was really good. I mean, we can look at our own lives and see that the value that Jesus placed in our own lives. People will say, well, Lord's this, that, and the other. Jesus is like, oh, that's not what I see. And so it's not hard to find the fault in other people. It's not hard to hide the junk. And I don't want to say pride myself, but I think me and Tiffany have done a really great job. I mean, just in our church life, we have found some of the coolest people. There's this one guy, I remember on the west side, he always had the hard rock t-shirt, rock bands, you know, satanic bands or whatnot, long hair. But he was a really great guy. Like once he got saved and we really like started to disciple him, he was going places and we were like, man, this guy might actually do something. You know, he might actually reach what God wants him to do. But in other places, people would look at him and be like, oh, you don't dress like us. You don't look like us. When I was in, I remember being in El Salvador, and in El Salvador, a lot of the surfing community has a really tough time. They go to church, and the church looks at them and like, you can't be a Christian and be a surfer. How can you be a Christian and how can you even be a Christian, call yourself a Christian, even come to church? You're coming to church in board shorts and flip-flops. I mean, let's just think about, we are really quick to judge. We're real quick to be legalistic about stuff. You can't have, I told this story before. Caleb went to a church and they pretty much got on him because he had his Bible on his phone. You got to have a hard copy of the Bible. You're not a real believer if you have, come on. We have to, real prophetic ministry is looking and finding treasure in people. In 1 Corinthians, Paul says that prophecy reveals the secrets of unbelievers' hearts. But I also believe, and he says prophecy is really for the believer, but I believe that prophecy can be used for the unbeliever too. There's so many times that we've been out, and Tiff has given a word to someone, and what happens is that person, we've seen people cry. I mean, this is, at restaurants, we've seen people cry. We've seen people open up. Now, have we seen people give their heart to Jesus? Yeah, probably about 20% of the time. But we've seen is people, I needed that prayer. It gives them hope. It gives them life. We're just here to plant the seed. God waters, God cultivates. So in 1 Corinthians, Paul says that prophecy reveals the secrets of the unbelievers. Now in 1 Corinthians 14:24, we just read it, and it said, But if all prophecy and the unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all. He is convicted by all. And thus the secrets of his heart are revealed, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. You see, I find it very interesting that it says that the person who hears the word doesn't repent, but falls on his face and worships God. Now, I'm gonna try not to be long today. I say that a lot, but I've been in church long enough. Let me read this statement. Paul says that he who hears the word doesn't repent but falls on the face and worships God. How many churches, I've done outreaches and I go tell pastor buddies, and this is what I always hear. How many people repent? How many people got saved? And I get that. That's very important. God's in the numbers. But I think sometimes we put such a high value on how many Bibles we got out, how many people repented, which is great. I'm not saying we don't devalue this, but here's what I've also noticed. I've watched people come out, they do an altar call, I'll just use some arbitrary, and 200 people give their hearts to Jesus. And then they leave and they never come back, they never follow up. And so they're excited, we got 200 people saved. And I'm like, but did you? They just said a prayer. And in the Western church, we have produced this gospel that we have you say this prayer and you get into heaven. That's all you got to do. Say this prayer. But that's totally not it. It's putting your trust in the Jesus. That prayer is just to kind of help you down the road. And so Paul says that he hears the word, that the unrepentant or the unbeliever hears the word but doesn't repent but falls on his face. I've been to stuff, and I'm like, hey, this person got healed. This is probably the biggest one I hear. Oh, so, you know, I was in Mexico, I was in El Salvador, I was in South Africa. You know, these people got healed. Did they get saved? I don't know, but they had an encounter with Jesus. I played my part, and that part was Jesus encountered them. I gave an altar, and I give an altar call everywhere I go. But you hear what I'm saying, is that Paul is saying that when they hear the prophecy, they don't repent, but they fall on their face and they worship God. I believe that as we prophesy, they may not get saved. Laura might be at the store and give a prophetic word. They may not, I repent. What must I do to be saved? I'm not saying that that's going to happen 9 times out of 10 or 10 times out of 10. But what I can guarantee is that person gets touched by the love of Jesus and they're like, you know what? Jesus is here. And they walk away, and that door has been opened, and the seed has been planted. Lord just did her part. She planted the seed. You see, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that you're jacked up. But most people don't know the value that God has placed in them. We all know we're jacked up. We know we're a sinner, saved by grace, all the stuff that we say. We know we're jacked up. I know I get frustrated with my wife. I know I get frustrated with my kids. I don't need a prophetic word. I don't need Colleen to say, Josh, I have a prophetic word for you today. I believe that you've been upset with your wife. Yeah, I don't need a prophetic word. I was the one that was upset. I know that. But Jesus, but Jesus, you know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that we're jacked up, but most people don't know the value that is placed on them. Whether the person is a homosexual, whether the person is in the drugs, whether the person is in pornography, whatever sin that has that person down, they know that they're messed up. I was reading just a case study not too long ago, and that the kids who have been transitioned at young age, they are getting to their older age, and they're like, we have totally screwed up. I'm jacked up. And they know I'm jacked up, and I can't go back. There's this one girl I was watching on Instagram. She had a great testimony. She wasn't saved or anything. She was just a girl. I was watching her, what she had to say. She said, I know I'm jacked up now. My mind's screwed up. She's talking about everything that's screwed up. No one, she didn't have to get a prophetic word. Hey, you're screwed up. She knew. We know. But the problem is that she doesn't know the value on her life that God had placed. That God, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only. She didn't know her value. And I will even say this. I don't even think I know the value that God has on my life yet. Not fully. I know he values me and Jesus died for me and Jesus, you know, paid the price and I know I could be healed. But I don't think I even have 100% full interpretation, understanding, a rhema of what God truly feels about me. How do I know that? Because there's days that I get bummed out. There's days I have to pick myself up. There's days that the Lord has to give me a prophetic word through somebody. God's really proud of you. Oh, thank you. I just need to hear that. Oh, thank you. Thank you. You see, Jesus offered up his life because we all fall short of the glory of God. In other words, prophecy reveals the identity that God has assigned them. Once people know their identity, it can bring conviction to their lives, and they can see that they have been living below their means or below of who they really are. Are you catching what I'm... This is what the prophetic is. Is you're bringing life. You see, if you're getting a prophetic... And I'm getting off, so this is my rabbit trail. But if you're getting a prophetic word and it's doom and gloom, that's not a true prophetic word. Prophetic word is edifying. It builds up. It comforts. Now the office of the prophet can rebuke, and I'll get to that here in a minute, but a prophetic word is really a word of encouragement. And so here's the thing, is that when you give a word of encouragement to someone who's living in sin, the Holy Spirit, they will understand and say, you know what, yes, I am messed up, yes, I am this. It will bring conviction, and they'll know their identity. When somebody knows their identity, they'll know, oh, wait, I'm living below my standards, below my means. Look at the prodigal son. He forgot his identity. He was eating pig slop. His identity came back. He said, wait, hold up. My father's servants have more than enough, and I'm eating pig slop. And he remembers who he is, and he goes back to his father. So many times, we forget our identity in Christ. Turn with me to the Old Testament. We're going to go to 2 Samuel chapter 12. I really like this story. And it talks about identity. Second Samuel chapter 12. And we're going to read verse 1 through 9. Now, a little backstory. David was supposed to be at war. He decides to stay home. He sees Bathsheba. Oh, man, this chick is hot. And I know she's married. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to plan for her husband to get killed. And I'm going to swoop in like Don Juan. And I'm going to console her. And he gets all into trouble. And I believe this is an amazing prophetic word. Now, this is a little bit more on the rebuke side, but the prophet Nathan operated in the office of the prophet. It says, then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said to him, there are two men in the city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he had brought and nourished, and grew it up together with him and his children. It ate his own food and drink from his own cup and lay in his bosom, and it was like a daughter to him. And a traveler came to the rich man, who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one for the wayfaring man who had come to him, but he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come in. And it says in verse 5, so David's anger was greatly aroused against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, the man who has done this shall surely die, and he shall restore fourfold for the lamb, because because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. Then Nathan said to David, you are the man. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives and into your keeping, and gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had not been too little, I also would have given you much more. Why would you despise the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? You have killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword. You have taken his wife to be your wife. You have killed him with the sword of the people of Ammon. Amen. David forgot who he was. He forgot where he came from. He was king, living large. I like that. I want that. And Nathan, he gets Uriah killed. He's with Bathsheba. And Nathan has to come and give him a prophetic word. Hey, let me tell you a story, a prophetic story. Let me tell you a story. And I like David. Oh, man, that guy's messed up. He deserves to be. Yeah, that's you, buddy. David had that moment where he's like, that is messed up. And the Lord shows, he remembers his identity. And I love it. This is his identity. His identity was, I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you the master's house. I gave you your master's wife for your keeping. I gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I also would have given you more. He forgot who he was. He got complacent. He allowed sin to compromise him. You see, sometimes sin causes many people to lose sight of God's greatness for them. And also, I will even say this, sin causes many people to lose sight of God's grace, glory, anointing in their lives. The enemy uses this trick so many times. If he can get you to doubt yourself, he knows that you will never reach your potential God has for you. Well, I'm just this. I didn't go to camps, or I didn't go to seminary. I didn't go to Bible school. I'm married. I'm this. I'm just a kid. All these things the devil uses when God's saying, I did not call you to that lifestyle. You see, we have David, who should have been at war, staying at home, and allowed sin to compromise his heart. He took another man's wife, killed that man. Nathan had to come and give him a word. And once done, David remembered who he was. He remembered his identity. He remembered what God gave him. So the prophetic is to help find the treasure in people. It's for the upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. This is for everyone to walk in. This is different than the office of the prophet, which is part of God's governing body. So what's the difference between prophets and prophecy? The gift of prophecy is one of the nine gifts of the Spirit, and that's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11. You got your power gifts, you have your revelatory gifts. These are one of the nine gifts, and gifts are free. God wants us to desire his free gifts. It's a free gift that God wants to give us, but so many people leave it on the table. Paul says, as I've said, prophecy is a gift. Paul says, I pray that you desire these gifts, not just speaking in tongues, but to desire all the gifts. Prophecy is a gift. It is not a reward. You can't buy it. You can't work hard for it. You can't barter for it. It's a free gift. It's a gift that we get to ask for. Since it's a gift, there are and here's where it gets kind of dicey. Since it's a gift, there are very mature Christians who walk in prophecy and very immature Christians who walk in prophecy also. That's why you can't see people. That's why you can see people with bad character walk in prophecy. Have you ever got a prophetic word or seen people like, how How is God using them? And I know his lifestyle. He does this, or she does that, or they do this. That doesn't make sense. You see, the Greek word for gift is charisma, which means favor that one receives without any merit of his or her own. So gifts don't determine your maturity in Christ, but the fruit of the Spirit determine your maturity. Are you walking in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness? So going back to that, just before I move on, there's many times you'll get immature Christians who will give you a really amazing, powerful, prophetic word. And you're like, this dude just got saved last week. And he'll give you this spot on word. But then you have pastors, apostles, prophets will just take a dump on your word. Just give you the biggest load of horse manure. What is this? Well, I see. You could be married. I see in the next year you're going to be married to sister so-and-so. What? Or I believe this. I believe you need to leave this job. What? And I'm going to get to that. So but I've also seen very mature Christians give on-point prophetic words. Just as I've seen immature Christians, baby Christians, those new, give a pretty rowdy word, and you're just like, you got to work on that, buddy. It's a gift. And because it's a gift, God gives it to whoever he wants. In all actuality, God gives it to whoever asks. That's the key point. And that's why I said you can have an immature Christian say, you know what? I really want to walk in the prophetic. God, what does that look like? And God's like, okay, because you asked. Boom, here you go. Does it mean that they're astute and they're a scholar now and they can, well, Aiden, this is what the Lord says. And they might miss it a little bit, but that's okay. So going back, Greek, the Greek word for gift is charisma, which means favor that one receives without merit of his or her own. Prophecy is, there's three things for prophecy. Prophecy is for edification, exhortation, and consolation. Edification means to build up. Exhortation means to call near. And consolation means to cheer up. Sweet, almost finished. The primary purpose of the gift of prophecy is not to direct or to correct the body of Christ, but rather to encourage the church. We should never allow people who are ministering and the gift of prophecy to speak negative into our lives or into the lives of others. When you're getting a prophetic word and they start saying, well, Colleen, you're this kind of wife. Whoa, hold up. This isn't a prophetic word. I have received those words where it ain't uplifting, it ain't edifying, and it ain't consoling me. It's not comforting me. And it's just, what I've heard prophetic people said, you know, sometimes people muddy the water. They may know stuff. I may know things about, that's why I'm very careful, especially with church members and people that I'm close with. I'm very careful because I don't want what I know through counseling to pop into a prophetic word, which happens. Now, are people being malicious? Most of the time, no. It's just human nature. We just miss it, and that's okay. But we want to make sure that our prophetic words are positive. The goal of prophecy is to bring out or call out the best in people. If you see negative things in someone's life, we are to manage it. We are to ask the Holy Spirit to give us the answers to the problem we discern. And then we prophesy the answer, not the problem. That way, the person we are prophesying to receives grace to solve a problem or to solve their problem on their own. Case in point, and this actually happened this last week. I was in Mexico about a year ago, and I gave one of my interpreters, I gave a word for him. And I really like this guy. He's a really cool guy, newly married, but had a cussing problem, and I knew a little bit stuff. I was preaching one time, and I'm preaching, and I said something about my wife having a miscarriage, and he stopped. I mean, he's interpreting. He said, really? I said, yes, really. And he said, oh, sugar, honey, iced tea. And I was like, bro, just translate, but don't translate that part. And it was really funny. And even when we were doing, we did the receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I'm like praying for people. They're getting filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. My interpreter, I'm like, where did he go? And I look back, and he's back there receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, Kelvin, this is what Kelvin does. He gets up before the whole congregation. This is a series of different meetings that we had. And he said, if you need a prophetic word, ask Josh. He'll give you one. And walks off the stage. And I was like, thanks, Kelvin. You know, so I haven't been to this church yet, but Kelvin already been to the church. So he's like, oh, Josh will be here the next day or so if you need a prophetic word. So I just met this couple, the pastor and then his son-in-law. We go out to one of my favorite restaurants, Tox, something like that. Great restaurant I love in Mexico. And we're sitting there, and then we're just talking, and he's like, you got a prophetic word for me? And I'm like, oh, man, put me on the spot. And I sat there, and I looked at him, and I said, all right, Holy Spirit, you know, what do you got? And it wasn't the most profound. I just said, you know what? I believe that the Lord's saying that there's things in your life that you need to let go, and he's going to bless you, and he's going to use you mightily, something like that. You know, it was an encouraging word. Even if you miss it, if it's an encouraging word, even if you miss it, the Holy Spirit can still get behind and say, I can get behind this. So haven't heard from him in like over a year. And the Lord put on my heart. I didn't say anything, but he texted me a couple days ago. And he said, hey, man, that prophetic word that you gave me changed my life. He's like, I'm totally different. Like, I really feel called to the ministry. And he's asking me scriptures. I mean, we're like going to deep discipleship. I feel like this. I mean, he's asking questions all from just a prophetic word. I didn't tell him the negative in him. I saw it. I mean, I knew what was there, but I didn't need to call it out. I just said, hey, God is taking you to a new level. Be who God's called you to be. And then let the Holy Spirit do the rest of the work. And he calls me up. Hey, man, this is what I want to do. You need something? I got you. Yo, you want to do these e-courses? I want to help you. And he's like, I want you and your wife to come back next year. And so we're going to start talking about coming back. And all because of a simple word. Here's an example. This is an example. Oh, that's just Kelvin. I don't know if he had a prophetic word. I think he was just throwing me to the wolves. Because he told me, hey, Josh, he's all, good luck, buddy. He's like, he has a mouth on him. And like the whole, I mean, yeah, anyways. He's a great brother. I really like him. God's going to do a lot of great stuff. But that is an example of how you can use the prophetic. But anyone who is saved and receives the Holy Spirit can minister in the gifts of the Spirit. On your own, read 1 Corinthians 14:31 and read Acts chapter 2, verse 17 to 18. I'm not going to get that, just for time's sake. So that's the prophetic. Anybody, it's a free gift. Anybody can do it as long as you're spirit-filled and you're saved. Pretty simple. Then you have your prophets. Now, this is different than walking in the prophetic. Prophets, Jesus gave the prophets to the church as a gift. The primary role is to equip the saints for service, providing the church with spiritual vision and discernment. Prophets carry a grace that enables people to hear the voice of the Spirit. As part of God's governing order, prophets can also give the authority to correct and direct the church. So a prophet can be like, hey, yo, guys, Bonnie Jones did this. She rebuked the Church of San Antonio. Hey, there's a lot of bad blood here. You need to squash all this bad blood. That was a rebuke. And churches can receive it. But if I got up there and said, hey, guys, you guys need to squash this beef. Who are you? Get the heck out of here. Somebody, security, get this guy out of here. But she operates in the office of the prophet. And the prophets are part of the fivefold ministry. The fivefold ministry consists of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors/shepherds, and teachers. Now, here's what they do. Apostles govern. Apostles are like the CEO of a company who oversees the project and sees the overall picture. Now, the prophets, they guide. Prophets are like the COOs, the chief operating officers, who assist with the CEO in determining what the project should look like. Your evangelists, they are your gatherers. Evangelists are concerned for the lost. Your pastor slash shepherds, they guard. A pastor's heart is for, or a shepherd's heart is for the saved. And then the teachers, they ground. A teacher's primary role is to help the flock understand the words of God. And I'll finish up with this. To be a prophet is a calling. To minister in prophecy is a gift. That's the difference between walking the prophetic, 1 Corinthians 14, and having the office of the prophet, whether you're Isaiah, a Nathan, a Samuel, Elijah, Elisha, you know, any of those prophets of old or the prophet, that was a calling. And with prophets, usually they get that calling from birth. Usually it's a calling from birth, or it's when they get the new birth. They get saved and they have a calling. You can't be, I just don't see it, and I just can't find it in Scripture where, God, I want to be a prophet. I've just never seen it. It's just a calling. You can't ask for it. I can ask for the gift of prophecy. Hey, God, I want to be able to walk in and be a prophetic voice. I want to walk in prophecy, in 1 Corinthians 14, prophecy. God, I want to walk in the office of the prophet. I just never seen that, okay? So God's gift and callings are unchangeable. But the Lord's anointing can rise and fall depending on the death and the relationship of the Holy Spirit. Romans 11, 29. All the gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable. So this may not be a popular opinion, but I believe that there are ebbs and flows of anointing depending on your relationship with the Holy Spirit. It's not a popular opinion, but I'm going to say it. Depending on how close your relationship is, there will be ebbs and flows. Have you ever been really close with the Holy Spirit and you're like, man, I'm just prophesying with everybody. Everybody I touch, they're getting healed. But then when the things of life comes around, it's kind of like, all right, man, they got healed, but man, I was really working for that. Or people want a prophetic word, and I was like really having to dig deep to get to get that. I believe personally that we should always be in a perpetual place of just loving Jesus. We don't have ebbs and flows. Here's another. This is the message, but this is going to piss people off. But I believe Jesus is conditional, and the things of Jesus are conditional per se. Well, Josh, how do you say that? Well, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Here's the condition. Whoever loves him shall not perish but have everlasting life. What's the condition? You put your trust in Jesus. That's the condition. There is no, hey, this is Walmart. Everybody gets to come in. No, this is Costco. You better have a membership. Everlasting life, John 3:16. Loved by the Father, John 4, these are just two examples. John 14:21, this is what Jesus said. Those who love me, obey my commandments. And here's the condition, and they will be loved by the Father. How do you get loved by the Father? You obey the commands of Jesus. There's another condition. But people think Jesus is unconditional. Oh, you can do whatever I want. No, there's a condition. Sorry, buddy. But that's another thing, another message. Three parts of prophecy, and we'll be done for today. Number one, the first part is revelation. The individual delivering the prophetic word is responsible for the revelation they receive, whether it comes through a dream, a vision, a trance, and I'll go through all these here in the next couple weeks. An audible word, vision, or what's the word? When your spirit knows, like the knower, or like an imprint. Kelvin has the word for it. Not word knowledge. It's like you just know. Anyways. You get the revelation. The second part of a prophecy is interpretation. What does the revelation mean? Prophetic people must understand that receiving a revelation does not always grant them the interpretation. And I say this because trouble often happens when we attempt to interpret a vision or an expressions of God's voice on our own. I don't know if you've ever been there. I've been in there where I get the revelation. And I tell the person the prophetic word, and they're looking at me like, hey, man, that's just what I hear. And because people look at you weird, you want to, okay, this is what I think. I think the polka dot dress means that you're probably going to get polio one day, and you know, you're trying to interpret. And And you don't have to raise your hand, but we probably all have had those where we've received a prophetic word. The revelation is a little out there, and that person is having to, okay, this is what I think it means. Now, does it mean that we don't interpret? No, we can do that, but it doesn't mean you have to. There's times that the Lord, and I'll say it here in a second, I'll summarize this all. The Lord will just give you the revelation, and that's it. And the last part is application, and this is crucial too. What should we do with the understanding once we understand the prophetic word? When the word involves direction, it is important, and I believe it is important to involve the pastor or overseer or someone who's a little bit older and or mature in the faith or whatnot, or just have a second opinion, because they can guide the recipient in creating a plan to apply the word, particularly in the walk out in their life. I like to say this. I believe this is what the Lord's saying. So many times we say, thus saith the Lord. Laura, you're going to be married next year. You're going to have 10 kids. And it's like, that's direct. Or Laura, you need to leave this job and you need to go over here. We need to be very careful when we are giving direction. Because somebody might, you know, thus saith the Lord, God wants you to leave this job. You leave that job and then you got somebody pissed off at you and you got somebody mad at God. That's why I strongly believe that, as we say, come with humility and just be like, this is what I believe the Lord is saying. Because then it leaves room for error. Because you're not talking out of... Now, there's some people who, if you know it's from the Lord, go for it. I'm not saying don't, but it's easier just to be like, I believe the Lord is saying that you might want to look at this job, or you might want to look at a different friendship here, and then say, thus saith the Lord. Because when you say, thus saith the Lord, it's kind of hard to... challenge somebody. Well, God said it must be right. Thus saith the Lord, go into stripper ministry. Well, I guess so. God said it. You know, we got to be really careful. In summary, or the simplest way to summarize the three parts of prophecy is this: when God stops speaking, we should. And that's very crucial that we stop. And I think it takes a level of maturity to stop, to say, God wants to say, God wants me to say that you're beautiful, and just stop there. People want to give scripture and backing. God might just say, that's all I... The most powerful prophetic words I've seen people give were really simple. If God stops speaking, we should. Those giving prophecy often feel pressure to offer an interpretation, especially if the word seems unclear or even unusual. It's surprising what some people believe their prophetic words mean. Remember, we don't need to be profound to be powerful. I was in Mexico, and I think I gave this story before, and there's this little girl. We were in Selena Cruz, and I had a word for her, and it was really weird because it was from a United States TV show that I knew wasn't godly. And I was like, oh, man. It was from Game of Thrones, and I was like, oh, man. I was like, but I knew this is what I saw. I heard this girl's Khaleesi. And so I just went up to her and I just said, I'm just going to obey you, Lord. I'm not going to give it, kind of expand. I just said, hey, look, I feel like this is what the Lord wanted me to tell you. There's a TV show. I'm not saying it's a good TV show, but I didn't even tell her the name of the show. I just said, there's a TV show. And in this show, there's a character. Her name is Khaleesi. And that name Khaleesi is called the Breaker of Chains. She went and she freed bound people, and she set slaves free. That was kind of her character in this TV show. And I prayed for her, and I sent her on. She's like, okay, you know. Church gets done. I'm walking out. Her parents run down and grab me. And this girl's like 5, 6, 7. I mean, she's a little kid. And they come up, and they said, she wants to travel the world and share the gospel. And I'm freaking out because I'm like, I didn't really necessarily use a godly TV show to give this prophetic word, but this is what I saw. But God's like, man, don't worry. And so that's another, we'll talk about that later. Cause, I know a pastor who gives prophetic words through movies, and that's how, I mean, and he gives crazy accurate details. Like he'll watch a movie, and when I say movie, I mean all movies, not like X or anything like that, but horror, comedy, and he'll see roads, I mean, to details, roads, and read people's mail out of movies. It's the wildest thing. God didn't call me to do that because I don't watch Chucky or anything like that. But what I'm saying is God will use different stuff. So it wasn't like a super profound word. It was just, this is what it is. It was uplifting, and they received it. And so that's the basics of the prophetic ministry. The intro to prophetic ministry is that, you know, you may have a calling to be to walk in the office of the prophet, yay, but we all can walk in the prophetic. Aiden can walk in prophetic very easily. Go to his little homeschool shindigs and be like, hey, yo, Steve, the Lord said he's just really proud of you, and walk off. Steve be like, I was questioning my faith. I don't know if God really was proud of me, loved me. Those have been the most, I've had one where I was just, you know, I'm trying to do my best. I'm trying to love Jesus. I get upset with my wife. I get upset with my kids. I remember I was going through this. There's just days. And I remember I went to someone's house and this dude just walks in and he starts like almost crying, comes up to me. He's like, I have a word from the Lord. And I was just like, really, you know, love Jesus, not trying to be bad, just life and stuff. And he said, the Lord wanted me to tell you, when you walked in, he said, this man walks with me. Dude, I just start crying. I'm just like, because that's how the enemy talks. He wants to tell you, oh, you're not doing good. You're not a good wife. You're not a good husband. You're not a good child. And, you know, even with the situations of life, I mean, I could lose it. Everybody knows, you know, I can have a hair thin trigger sometimes just because all the stress and this stuff, and I lose my cool and I'm just like, ah. But there's always a profound prophetic word. God loves you. God is proud of you. Sometimes that's all we need. It doesn't have to be, thus saith the Lord, I see you in 10 years that you'll be this, this, that, and the other. It's just a, hey, God's, and that's what it's for. It's for comfort. It's for exhortation, and it's for the edifying. It's a prophetic word. When you leave a prophetic word, you should be left feeling built up. And I'll leave you with this. I believe prophetic words just confirm what you're already hearing from God. I know people go from prophetic ministry, prophetic conference, and I'm not saying that's wrong or anything like that, but if you have to go to somebody else to find a prophetic word, you're not hearing the voice of the Lord for yourself. And that's nothing special with us or that person. God wants to speak to all of us.